9:10 a.m. here on the Guadalupe Radio Network on this beautiful Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve. It is such an awesome day. I know there's so much excitement that everybody has because tomorrow is one of the greatest days in the church calendar, and I hope you have big plans. I hope it's going to be a glorious and beautiful day for you. My name is Dave Palmer, Executive Director here at the station, and I am here with Cecil Anderson, our North Texas Assistant. Good morning, Cecil. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very, very well.
Yeah. So, you know, we said a month or so ago, we went to a Catholic radio conference out in Birmingham, and Cecil and I came back and we talked on the Good News Show about how we just had this heightened awareness of the need to really focus on the local area and the good things that are happening here in North Texas, both in the Dallas and the Fort Worth Diocese. And so when we get an opportunity to get out and about and let you know about something that you may not otherwise just generally hear about, we like to take the opportunity. So today, this is a long way of saying that we're preempting regular programming today. The More to Life with Greg and Lisa will return tomorrow, but we are broadcasting live at the central headquarters of Catholic Charities of Fort Worth on West Thornhill Drive in Fort Worth. And if you have not ever been out here, I'm sure they give tours. In fact, I know they give tours because the tour guide is here. come on out here. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility. And I want to thank Elise Chung, Director of Communications, who's here with us because she has given us a wonderful lineup of guests. We're going to be talking about everything from the history and overview of Catholic Charities, advancement, Gabriel Project campaigns, Christmas Angels campaign, and also immigration services with the director of that agency, Sergio Chassin, to round out the hour. And so this is quite an impressive place, isn't it?
It is.
First time you've been here.
Yes, it is my first time that I've been here, so I'm really happy to be able to see it and all the great work that they do here. And you're right, Dave, we really wanted to do more local things, and it was really beautiful that a volunteer of ours, who actually is an employee here, Alma Miller, is the one who, you know, she came into our office, and we were talking about different ways we could collaborate, and you and I throw out often, you know, we're always willing to come out and do live remotes at all of any local Catholic organizations, and, you know, everyone's very busy and it doesn't always happen. So when I was like, by the way, guys, look what I do. Yeah. Can we do this sometime in the next few weeks? We were like, yes, let's do it. And how perfect to do it right before Thanksgiving too.
Yeah, I know. Because this is kind of a slow day for most people business-wise. And so it was a great opportunity to come out here. So that is what we are doing. And like I mentioned, a lot of different topics related to Catholic Charities of Fort Worth we will discuss in the next hour. And we are going to start off the hour with Christy Brown, Head of Advancement here at Catholic Charities of Fort Worth. She has been here for 25 years, and she has been in the advancement arena for 23 of those years, and she is going to provide us with a history and overview of Catholic Charities of Fort Worth. So, Christy, thanks for being on the air with us and starting things out this hour. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
So, 25 years ago, you're a look like a young lady now, but you must have started at quite a young age. I won't ask about your age, but so you've seen quite a bit in your 25 years here at Catholic Charities.
I have, for sure.
Yeah. Now, I asked you about, the history and overview, and I said, when did this start in the first place? And you said it goes all the way back 1910. Wow.
That's
it's
right.
Been through a couple of world wars, and it's been a lot. So kind of give us an overview, bird's eye sketch of Catholic Charities of Fort Worth and some of the highlights of the history now, because I know you're celebrating 113 years this year.
That's right. Yeah. So in 1910, there were a small group of women who made handmade crafts, and they would sell them at the state fair down on the grounds of St. Patrick Cathedral that's downtown Fort Worth. And they really wanted to focus on the poor and the vulnerable. So they would sell these items, and they went to the bishop at the time, Bishop Edward Nunn, and asked him for his blessing to start this work of mercy. And so when they would sell these items, they would turn those into, obviously, those donations go back into helping the most vulnerable. And so it's really great to see over 113 years now, like you said, people come out and see the powerhouse poverty ending, you know, nonprofit that we are today. It's a really cool thing to see this evolve.
Are there any pictures of those ladies that exist?
There is.
That's part of the tour, I'm sure,
right? That's right. We get a wonderful history wall here, that goes through all the different decades of Catholic Charities.
Now, I know, like, Caritas, I guess, is the umbrella term of Catholic Charities. It already existed at the time, I'm guessing, and so when did that little seed of inspiration of these ladies, raising funds for the needy, kind of morph into being part of a much larger organization.
So that was 1910.
Okay. Oh, like, that was 1910. Okay.
Yeah. And so, there's over 100 Catholic charities across the states. And so we are one of those. And so,
Yeah, and as I look at the building now, it's very modern. It's very beautiful, and I'm just going to take a wild guess that this building didn't exist in 1910. And so, how has even from a physical standpoint, Catholic Charities of Fort Worth grown over these last 113 years?
Yeah, so we did a capital campaign and moved into this facility in 2010. We were all spread out across the diocese, and we really knew for the betterment of our clients, we needed a one-stop shop, and so that they weren't having to go location to location and really be accessible to them on the bus line as well. So really taking a holistic view for our clients, and like we knew we needed to have this one-stop shop, and we were able to fundraise for this building within 2 years and have it paid for by our community.
Oh, wow, within 2 years.
That's right.
Oh, wow,
such
that's
a
amazing.
Blessing. Yeah.
Yeah, and being an advancement yourself, you know about all the fundraising needs. What an organization like this that does so much can't exist without fundraising. So what are some of the big fundraisers during the year, the ways that you bring in the funds?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we actually have our largest fundraising event coming up on December 5th, Tuesday, December 5th, at Will Rogers. And so, that's just an hour lunch to come hear all about our mission, and we'll ask people to make a financial contribution that event. And that event's our largest fundraising event. But you can go, visit our website. There's always types of ways to get involved with Catholic Charities through Time, Talent, and Treasure. So.
Yeah, talking to Christy Brown, Head of Advancement for Catholic Charities Fort Worth. And, we touched on the how it began and started in 1910. It'd be impossible to cover the entire history of Catholic Charities Fort Worth in, the next 10 minutes. But what are some of the other highlights? What are some of the flashpoints that you might kind of point to during these last 113 years?
Yeah, so I would say in the 70s was a big revolution for us in the sense of serving our brothers and sisters who were fleeing from persecution. So we opened up our refugee services. And so since 1970, we've actually resettled over 9,300 refugees. And so that's a big thing for us at Catholic Charities to welcome the stranger, and especially these families and individuals that are having to flee because of persecution or war that's happening in their home country.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for us, the last 5 years, we've really shifted into going all in of out of poverty. So we know we can't serve everyone. And so we really wanted to focus in on our case management, our signature case management that's actually research backed, to be able to walk with our families long term so they can really, we can change the trajectory of their lives of not being in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
So, we do help with some relief services, some crisis, especially through the pandemic. The community really stepped up and allowed us to serve more. But our real unique is being able to work with families to end that cycle of poverty for good.
Yeah, I know when somebody contacts us at the radio station and says, oh, my husband lost his job, we can't pay rent, I typically either say Catholic Charities or St. Vincent de Paul, and I've had interviews with both organizations. And so do people kind of walk in, or people just call and say, hey, I'm in a tough spot? What do you do with folks like that on an individual basis?
Yeah, so we have assessments for each person that walks in, so really understanding what their needs are, what their barriers are, because there's not one size that fits all for Catholic Charities. And so maybe someone's needing employment. Maybe they're wanting some more education. Maybe it is that just one-time rental assistance, which we have very limited funding for, but we don't want to just send people away versus maybe giving them other resources or referrals. And so really serving with compassion is really important to us as well. But each story is different.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
We have a team that's able to assess that and make the best plan for that family.
Yeah. How did life change with Catholic Charities of Fort Worth during the pandemic? Everybody's life changed fundamentally.
It's a loaded question.
How did operations change during that time?
Yeah. So luckily we were really blessed with technology. So we were able to pivot pretty quickly from working from home, but operations didn't stop. We actually served tens of thousands, more than we typically had during that time. And a lot of that was more financial relief during, you know, that crisis. And so the community was great, from our local foundations to our corporations or individuals stepped up, giving us more funding to be able to help during that time. And so, again, we were having people who hadn't had to ask for help before, and really stepping out of that comfort zone for their family. And so the community allowed us to be able to serve them during that time.
Mm-hmm. It kind of highlights the fact that you just never know what's around the corner.
That's
and you
right.
have, you all have to be ready for anything. I mean, tornadoes and other natural disasters and pandemics and things like that. You got to be on your toes, huh? And all the more reason for the funds that have to come in to support something like this.
That's right. So
anything else historical-wise? I'm sure personnel-wise, I know you've had some change in leadership, and so anything else as far as the structure, the different agencies within Catholic Charities. Do y'all do adoption services?
We do not.
Oh, you don't?
Well, yeah, we stopped that in about 1995.
Okay.
So we did that for years and decided we'll stop doing that in that time. 1995, excuse me.
And I mentioned about the tours. Are people able to come by, arrange those? Probably not tomorrow.
No, we will be
But not this week. But if people want to come out here, because it's such a beautiful, beautiful facility. It would be so nice for people to come on out here. What can they do if they want to learn more?
Yeah, so we have monthly tours. You can sign up on the website. It's a one-hour informational session only. You will leave here inspired.
Yeah.
But you get to really take a tour of our mission. So we'll tour you around the facilities, let you see some of the work that we're doing. So yeah, it's a great 1 hour to come out to.
Mm-hmm. I asked when I came in about this week, because some of your services, you know, people continue to need food and transportation and all that, but you are able as a organization to slow down a little bit the next couple of days and take a pause and enjoy Thanksgiving. And so what does the rest of this week look like for Catholic Charities?
Yeah, so as an agency, we are closed Thursday and Friday to observe Thanksgiving. We do have a couple of programs, some of our social enterprise programs, like our dental clinic, our transportation services. They never stop. I actually saw some of the dental staff upstairs. We have a dental clinic here on campus. So some of those services will continue as is.
Yeah, very good, very good. So let's just recap about what's happening. I think December 5th, you said, is the luncheon, and I don't know if there's still any opportunities for people to jump in on that. I'm speaking to Christy Brown, head of advancement. She's talking about the history and the overview of Catholic Charities of Fort Worth. And the location is 249 West Thornhill Drive in Fort Worth, 76115. And their website is pretty easy to remember, CatholicCharitiesFortWorth.org, CatholicCharitiesFortWorth.org. And we are going to be speaking about a whole lot of other topics related to Catholic Charities of Fort Worth in this hour. We're doing a live broadcast here this morning, the day before Thanksgiving, and what a joy it is to be out here. And so, Christy, let's recap what's happening December 5th. Can people still get tickets, and what are the opportunities for people to help?
Yeah, they can. It's a free event. Like I said, it's 1 hour. It's mission-heavy, live testimonies of our clients sharing their impact by Catholic Charities, and we're asking the community to help support that. You can get on our website, and there's information about knowing more about us. If they're interested, it's called Creating Hope for our Community. It's a luncheon. Again, it's free. And I don't know, from the other ladies here, you all hear about some other opportunities, how to get involved with this as well.
Mm-hmm. For anyone listening, I am posting all these links on our local Facebook group, GRNDFW. If you're not a part of that, definitely join it so you can get easy access to all the information we're talking about.
And you also send pictures.
Pictures,
that's one of the downsides of radio is that you hear a voice and you're like, I want to see what that person, you know. We have a little fun little saying within Guadalupe Radio Network about somebody having the warm fuzzies. The head of our organization, Toya Hall, talks about that a lot. It's where you just feel good for helping somebody, whether it's donating to Catholic Radio. This place must be like warm fuzzies all the time. I mean, because that's the whole purpose of Catholic Charities, is to help people, isn't it?
That's right. You know, I feel like if I have just a second, three things that really make us unique.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I share those
with
you?
Oh, yeah, please
do. Okay, great.
Yes.
So one of the things we're so proud about is being research-backed. So we have a partnership with our friends up at Notre Dame, Lab for Economic Opportunities, as well as our own internal research team that's able to assess what we're doing and really make sure that what we're doing is working. That's really important to Catholic Charities. And so the other thing is that we are really client focused. So we really, over 90 cents of every dollar goes directly to serving clients. Mm-hmm. That really makes us unique and stand apart, that we really are putting those resources that we're entrusted with back into client services. And then the third thing I would say that really makes us unique is that we are faith driven. We are, you know, Catholic social teaching is our foundation. And another really cool thing, being non-Catholic, that you don't have to be Catholic to work here, and you don't have to be Catholic to receive services. We really are an organization about serving because of our faith and not theirs.
Yeah.
And it really just, those warm fuzzies, like you get that each and every day when you come here.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up, because obviously Catholic is in the very name
of
the organization. You have a wonderful quote up above my head
indeed.
Here.
Yes.
We love because he first loved us.
Absolutely.
1 John 4:19. That's
yes.
the first thing people see when they walk into Catholic Charities. And I remember another bishop saying one time, we help not because they're Catholic, but because we're Catholic.
That's right.
And I think that's a great way. Thank you for pointing out those three points. So those are very important. It's a good way to close out our conversation with you. And now you're off the hook. You get to
Turkey.
good lead off batter there, to use a little baseball. Baseball's on a lot of people's minds these days, because our team here locally did pretty well this year. So Christy Brown, head of advancement here at Catholic Charities of Fort Worth. I hope you have a very blessed Thanksgiving. And I think you said before we got on that you get to go over to somebody's house. You're not actually the one cooking today, right?
Yeah, I don't
have
to host.
That's
amazing. You don't have to clean the house.
That's
what I got to do tonight.
That's exactly right.
Well, hope you have a nice Thanksgiving.
Thanks
for being
so
on
much
with
for
us.
Of course.
Thank you so much, Christy Brown. And so the next person we're going to have on is somebody that Sissel is very, very familiar with, because not only do they have the same last name, they have the same parents. It's amazing. Tova Anderson, the Gabriel Project Volunteer Coordinator, and also she's going to talk about the hashtag #IGiveCatholic campaign, and also the Gabriel Project program with Catholic Charities of Fort Worth. And so I want you to kind of jump in a little bit more,
because
you guys know each other pretty well. So do you want to just, maybe you can handle this one?
I think I can handle it. Well, Tova Anderson, thank you so much for joining our radio broadcast this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Sissel. How are you doing?
We didn't even see each other at our house that we live at together,
not.
But because we both ran out the door at different times.
We did.
But you are the Gabriel Project Volunteer Coordinator. Can you first, for anyone who's listening, I feel like, you know, most churches have a Gabriel Project sign outside, but maybe don't know exactly what that entails. Can you talk a little bit about that program?
Yeah, I'd love to share about that. The Gabriel Project is a pregnancy support program for moms who are expectant. So most mothers are paired with an angel, after, of course, the Archangel Gabriel. And what they do is they walk with moms for spiritual, emotional, and practical support from any point the mother enters in her pregnancy through baby's first year of life. So during this time that's, you know, really incredibly special in a woman's life, that she has someone walking alongside her, even if she's going through incredible struggles during that time, that she feels supported and has community around her.
That's awesome. And what is the demand like these days? We have, moms find out about it. I've seen a lot of times there's lots of, you know, you see advertisements for Gabriel Project, but how often are women coming up and asking to be, like, have this kind of companion? Is a high demand, or, you know, what kind of is the situation these days?
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredibly high demand. To give a kind of small testimonial, we recently had one of our Gabriel angels, right? These are all volunteers, say that the mother she was recently paired with, told her she only knows one other person besides her as the angel.
Oh,
so like that need for community is incredibly strong. We're really blessed to have already so far served 153 families. But the need is incredibly great, because unfortunately, we have had to implement a wait list, a short one, but because the need is so great and it just continues to increase.
Mm. And I know we're going to talk about in just a second some of the ways funding can also help with the Gabriel Project, but I imagine that there's some people listening who maybe already are involved with the Gabriel Project or are kind of, you know, maybe looking for something. What kind of woman are you looking for to, you know, what qualities do they need to have to be a Gabriel angel?
Yeah, absolutely. First off, I just want to say, any angels who are listening, I'm of course going to brag about you all. I love you all so much. What they do is fantastic, giving of their time. So shout out to you all. So there's a couple different ways that you could get involved with the Gabriel Project. The primary role is that being that Gabriel angel. And we're looking for just a Catholic woman who really just has an empathetic heart, a listening ear, and really just wants to walk alongside someone for a period of time, right? The training is provided. We have a huge support system around you with different staff members and other volunteers. So it's never, you know, oh, I don't know what to say. You can always have someone you can reach out to. Another question that often comes up too is like, is this only for women who've been mothers? And that actually is not the case. We have many women who volunteer who are actually in college. We have women who volunteer who are great grandmothers. We have women who've had lots of children, women who've not had. That really actually is not the primary purpose. It's really just to provide support and community around the mom. And then there are also opportunities on the donation kind of end as well.
For sure. And we'll talk about that in just a moment too. Specifically, what is your role with the Gabriel Project as volunteer coordinator?
Yeah, absolutely. So my job is to train, retain, and recruit more volunteers. So I'm really blessed. I get to know all these volunteers individually. And then also get to meet new people by going out on parish visits, and then visiting the parishes that so graciously host our baby closets. And then overall the donations coming in as well.
Just a reminder that if you're tuning in right now, we are covering regular programming because we are broadcasting live on this day before Thanksgiving from Catholic Charities Fort Worth, their office here in Fort Worth. CatholicCharitiesFortWorth.org is their website if you want to find out all about some of the programs that we're talking about. Again, I'm posting that information on our GRN DFW Facebook group, and you can check it out there for easy access. And I'm currently speaking to Tova Anderson, the Gabriel Project Volunteer Coordinator, who also happens to be my sister, which is abundantly clear, Dave, when I ask her a question, and the first thing she says is absolutely, which is something that Dave ribs me about for saying too much.
Runs in the family, doesn't it? Absolutely does.
Oh, no. And as soon as she started saying that, I goes, oh, no.
Now she's going to be so self-conscious.
I'm very sorry, Tova. He's talking about not only the need for having some women to volunteer as Gabriel Angels, because there is a wait list right now, so that is something that may be on your heart if you want to be a companion to these women. Please definitely reach out to them, and I'm sure Toa can give some contact information at the end of this. But also specifically, there's a campaign going on right now called the I Give Catholic Campaign, and is this just for Gabriel Project?
Yes, we are super blessed and excited that this campaign this year will be just going to Gabriel Project, which is a huge, huge blessing, since we have discussed the need is just so ongoing.
That's awesome. So how exactly is it working, and how can people get involved with it?
Yeah, absolutely. So since we're around this time of Thanksgiving, we're in that period leading up to Giving Tuesday, which will be coming this coming Tuesday, November 28th. So you're able to go through our website, CatholicCharitiesFortWorth.com. You'll scroll down, you'll see a nice button that says I Give Catholic, and you can go there to support the Gabriel Project. We'll have a nice little short quote from a mom that we've served, very touching, and kind of breaks down what we use that money for. Last year our goal was $7,500. This year we're trying to get to $12,500. And then just to kind of give you kind of a ballpark, it takes about $2,500 to be able to accompany a mom through the program. So every dollar counts. Anything, it would be awesome to contribute and support these moms.
Awesome. And can you give that information where people can donate again?
Yes, absolutely. Going to CatholicCharitiesFortWorth.com, just on our main webpage, click on that I Give Catholic button. You also have the option of going to I Give Catholic and then searching for Catholic Charities Fort Worth.
Gotcha. As you are the volunteer coordinator, I'm sure you get to hear a lot of amazing testimonies. You kind of related some of one of those earlier. You're talking about it's really the companionship that is most necessary and what the Gabriel Angels do. Are there any other stories that have stuck out to you since your time here that you would like to relay to our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. One of them is actually mentioned on our I Give Catholic website, but there was a mother who came to us. She got pregnant in the middle of the pandemic, so unfortunately she lost her job pretty immediately. So here she is, baby coming in, she says, you know, I'm the mother. It's my job to support my child. What am I going to do? And she came to the Gabriel Project, got paired with an angel, received support from Catholic Charities to help get her back up on her feet. And one of the big things I think she noted is, you know, which she said with honestly a lot of tears, was that, you know, this angel who's walked alongside me, Jane, you know, she didn't have to support me. She didn't have to be here for me. But here she comes. She prays with me. She's asking me how I'm doing. And, you know, not feeling alone. As she really, you know, I think really beautifully put that, like, to raise a child, it does take a village, and that this woman was willing to be about her part of this village, with, you know, just as a volunteer, really, just to love and support her. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one.
That's really beautiful. And I'm curious, what led you to want to work at the Gabriel Project here at Catholic Charities, but also just in the overall pro-life movement?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, obviously, Cicely, you and I were very blessed to be raised by very pro-life parents. Kind of reflecting over the past few years, I realized even, you know, mom was truly a crisis pregnancy, right? Kind of looking at that situation. And so I think my heart, you know, giving birth, you know, that's such a beautiful and blessed time in a woman's life. And to know that sometimes that is unfortunately feels like a stress or a burden for the woman, when really we want to be that light to her and to be that accompaniment to her, and not be a place of, oh my goodness, I'm having a baby, it's stressful, it's painful, instead of, we want to accompany you, and so that it's a joy, right? I think that's part of what motivated me.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, Dave, I've asked a lot of questions. Is there anything you want to jump in? And
no, I love the personal aspect to it. Yeah. You brought your own, you know, mom into it.
Yes.
May God rest her soul and
yes.
all that. And also what a touching story about somebody who loses her job in the middle of a pandemic and mm-hmm. is pregnant, but still wants to keep the child as well. Mm-hmm. And I guess, are there any needs? I mean, we already talked to Christy about the financial needs and the event on December 5th and all that. Do you need volunteers? Do you need angels? Do you, you know, what are some of the other needs? Maybe
yeah, there's also donation needs as well.
Exactly,
right?
Absolutely. So we are fully donation funded. So not only the material, you know, the money need that we already kind of discussed through I Give Catholic and campaigns like that, but every item that's provided, these basic baby items throughout baby's whole first year of life, are completely donation funded. Mm. So we have amazing parishes that will do diaper drives. We have individuals who reach out to us with newer, gently used baby items, and we take most items, you know, barring a couple, but generally we take most items, and they're placed in those baby closets in different parishes. So donation needs like that, absolutely. And I can, you tell me when to provide my contact information. I'm always welcome.
Right now.
To make okay,
right
I'll
now.
Provide my contact information.
After the sentence.
Right. Okay. So you can reach out to me with any of those. I can also share an Amazon wish list that we have, as well as our monetary needs. So the number to reach me at would be 682-380-1679. And then you can also reach out just by searching Gabriel Project on our website and find contact information there as well. And then also on
the Gabriel Angels, are those happy
yes,
women?
Yes, that was what I was going to get to. Yes,
Gabriel Angels, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So we do actually have opportunities for both men and women to volunteer. The Gabriel Angel is just women, obviously just a company walk alongside a woman, right? But we have more and more opportunities for men. One of the big ones is delivering donated items. As you can imagine, a lot of the women in our program do not, unfortunately, have transportation, right? So to be able to provide these donated baby items to them, we've had a lot of wonderful gentlemen who have stepped up and helped us in that way.
So. Is there always one item that no matter what y'all always need, or, you know, that you just never seem to get enough of, that people can, who are listening right now, might be like, I want to give them whatever is most needed right now. What is one item that can always be donated?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say probably new crib mattresses.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I would never guess that. Yeah. I thought you were going to say diapers.
That's what I thought she was
going to say.
I would say
like
diapers
and
wipes are absolutely always needed. I think what it is we just less. We usually have people donating those. It's new crib mattresses are less often. And the reason being for that is that We cannot give used mattresses, right? Mm.
So
it
once it's been used, it's, mm-hmm. yeah. It's
you could, I could have guessed until I passed away, and I would have never guessed used crib mattresses for the biggest thing. That is so interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are just about out of time. Tova's number again, 682-380-1679. And what are your plans for Thanksgiving? You're going to be spending it with Sissel and the fam?
Unfortunately,
no. I got to ask everybody what they're doing for Thanksgiving as the closing question.
Yeah, it's going to be mad dash to clean the house and prep, but fortunately we're doing potluck style, so it'll be everyone contributing, and it should be a good time tomorrow.
And should everybody who's coming RSVP at the same phone number?
No, please. That phone number will be on silent tomorrow.
It up to everybody,
No. That's my work cell.
If everyone wants like an ounce of turkey, yes.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
And so before we let you go, can you just remind us about the I Give Catholic campaign?
Oh, yes.
When does that end, and when can people,
yes.
when they should get their donations in by?
Absolutely. So it ends this coming Tuesday, November 28th. So Giving Tuesday, it's typically called. Again, you can go to Catholic Charities Fort Worth and click on the I Give Catholic button and donate there.
Perfect.
All right. We are all done. Thanks so much. Have a great rest of your day. A happy Thanksgiving as well. And if you're just tuning in and saying, this does not sound like Greg and Lisa Popchak in More to Life, well,
We could have tried impersonating them, Dave, I think.
Yeah, that would have been kind of fun. But this is a live broadcast. We are committed to bringing you all the latest information about all the good things that are happening here in North Texas, both in the Dallas and the Fort Worth Diocese. And this is a great honor for us to go out. And it's also kind of fun to get out and about and be at different locations. I think this may be the second time that I've physically been at Catholic Charities of Fort Worth, but it's great. And I do want to thank again Elise Chung, the Director of Communications, who is here with us, and she's coordinating all the guests and everybody. One guest leaves, the next one sit down. And so our next segment here halfway through the broadcast is going to be talking about volunteers. And the volunteer specialist here at Catholic Charities of Fort Worth is Kelly Smith, and she joins us. And she is with the community engagement manager, Allie Philippi, who has the coolest name in the world. And so I told Kelly's going to do most of the talking, but I did say that with Allie, I wanted to just ask her. And I'll hold off on that. Let me go first, and I'll come back right back to you, okay?
I'll be here.
I don't think your mic is on. Or is it on?
It is on, yeah.
Okay, so let's just hear something. It's, can you say something?
Test 1, 2.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Wow. Good answer.
Perfect,
good answer.
Right?
Yes. All right. So Kelly is here to my right, and she's a volunteer specialist. And how long have you been with Catholic Charities?
So I have been with the agency for 4 years, but I've served as a volunteer specialist for 2.
Okay.
My role is in getting new volunteers. I help train, do orientation, place them with our various programs. I also lead our Christmas Angels, Thanksgiving bag drive. So lots of fun things going on.
All right. And a moment ago we were talking to Tova, and we asked her about volunteers and Gabriel Angels and that kind of thing. So how does that work? Do you work with all the heads of the various aspects of Catholic Charities and kind of oversee the overall volunteer needs?
I do.
Is that how it works?
Yes. So
must be bug. That's a big job.
We call them our program liaisons, and I work directly with Tova to help with getting those volunteers placed with her, and we have a volunteer program in transportation, refugee services, ESL tutoring, so lots of communication and coordination that I handle.
Yeah, and do you know, I mean, roughly, not exact number, how many volunteers at any given time are working with Catholic Charities?
So right now, about 218 active volunteers across all of our campuses.
Yeah, and you'd probably like to have even more, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to grow our team of volunteers. So we always have a need, and there's a fit for everyone. So
yeah.
I'll kind of talk more about what roles we're looking to recruit for, but Tova did a great job explaining the Gabriel Project Angels and our auxiliary support volunteers as well.
Right. And it always has to kind of coincide with the right time of a person's life. I mean, right now in my life, it's really busy, and it's hard for me to do much else than just take care of the family and jobs. But talk about some of the needs and some of you mentioned some of the biggest needs and the type of people that typically come forward and help out.
Sure. So we have a variety of volunteers. A lot of retirees come to us, and we have a transportation role that you drive clients to medical appointments and work, school. that has paid and volunteer drivers, and there's a fleet of vehicles. We will put our volunteers on our smaller vehicles. We do have minibuses, but I promise we will not place you on the minibus.
Like an 18-wheeler or something?
No, that's what they start with.
Do not be intimidated. We would love to get new volunteers into our Fort Worth campus to help drive for us.
Okay. So that's a big need right
that
now.
That is a big need, absolutely. We do have that in the Colleyville campus, but Fort Worth has the greatest need for drivers. Another opportunity that is with our refugee services is ESL tutoring. Our volunteers will support our ESL staff and provide literacy instruction. All the materials are there. You don't have to have a teaching background, just really the willingness and passion to help those that are learning the English language.
Okay, okay.
They do that in person near our Fort Worth campus for children and adults. We also have an online option, so there is remote volunteering. You did see that pivot during the pandemic. I heard Christy talking about how we had that change.
It's like helping on Zoom calls and that kind of thing?
Yes, on a Zoom call.
Okay.
There is actually an option to do 6 to 8 p.m. Monday and Tuesday nights, so that would be great for the working professional. I get a lot of inquiries from people who want to give back but can't come in during kind of normal business hours because they have a job of their own. So that's one to consider, ESL tutoring for adults on Zoom.
Okay. Okay. Now, what is there an ESL for younger people also as an option?
There is. Okay. So we have K through 12 tutoring that happens in an area Fort Worth ISD school. You'll work, it's about a five-hour shift either Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. 9 to 2 is the shift times they're looking for volunteers.
Okay, very nice. Kelly Smith, volunteer specialist here at Catholic Charities of Fort Worth, the website catholiccharitiesfortworth.org. All right, Allie, this is the time for your question, okay?
All right, I'm ready.
Allie Philippi, community engagement manager. How long have you been with Catholic Charities?
Yeah, I've been with the agency almost 7 years. Okay. I've worn a couple different hats. I started doing home development in international foster care, and then made my way to the advancement team in February of 2020.
Okay, so the position of community engagement manager falls under advancement, which is more the fundraising aspect of Catholic Charities. And so it's an interesting title, community engagement manager.
Yes.
So what exactly do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so we have a small but mighty team. It's Kelly and myself currently looking to add another person in the new year, which is very exciting. But we do exactly what it sounds like, community outreach, education, connection. You know, we really are responsible for connecting with the community and letting them know who we are here at Catholic Charities, what we do, who we serve, and then how to get involved, whether that be, you know, through volunteering or as a donor or a community partner.
Very nice. And the position you mentioned in the new year, does that have a title or what kind of person are you looking
for? Yes, engagement coordinator. May or may not have someone ready to take that spot. So, very exciting. We're going to hit the ground running in the new year.
You didn't tell me you were getting a new job.
You have to be a very engaging person to be the engagement coordinator,
you know,
right?
You just have to love what we do and be able to connect with people.
Very, very good. Well, thanks so much. And I told you we ask you a question, but if you want to jump in, just feel. This is kind of like just everybody just kind of talking around the table, having fun, right?
One volunteer opportunity that I'm going to shamelessly throw out there, it's a big need, and I think it's a very easy one to fit in anyone's schedule, is to be an ambassador for Catholic Charities. And so what that means is you put together a group of 5 to 10 people to listen to our informational tour, which it's called No Poverty Hour.
Okay.
We can do them here at the office. We can do it off-site, really any day, anytime. It's super flexible, but that is an opportunity for us to connect with more people, to spread the word of what we're doing here at Catholic Charities and, you know, grow the family here at Catholic Charities. So.
I know one of the things that Cecil and I, you know, really try to do is get to the parishes, and you've kind of talked about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of parishes in Fort Worth, and Fort Worth, not that I need to tell you all this, is a geographically very spread out diocese, all the way to Wichita Falls and Weatherford and, you know, north to, gosh, I don't know how far the north would go, but how do y'all, and either one of y'all can jump in, the challenge of, you know, being quite vast geographically. Mm-hmm. How do y'all overcome that?
Yeah, so it's a lot of teamwork. We have a parish social ministries team that does incredible work with our parish partners. And then Kelly and I kind of work with that team to bring in volunteers to, you know, all go and present about Catholic Charities. And then I also work with some of our other faith partners that are not Catholic, you know, just continuing to build those relationships, get in front of people. Again, we're a small but mighty team. I think that we do a great job of connecting with other team members and people in the community. And so another reason we're adding that, that other person to, you know, do more. But yeah, I think it's just working with the team to get in front of the parishes, get in front of the churches, businesses, corporate partners, just an opportunity to share the word of what we're doing here at Catholic Charities.
Yeah, very nice. Thanks, Sally. Yeah. And Kelly, Christmas Angels, let's talk about that. What is that program? Now, you mentioned something about Thanksgiving as well. Do you want to go in chronological order and talk about Thanksgiving
so
first?
I'll just highlight Frost Bank donated 205 Thanksgiving bags for our clients.
Okay.
So that was... We were busy bees last week getting all of the bags distributed out to clients. That is something, though, that I coordinated, and we work very closely with our community partners to help provide resources for our clients.
And how did you determine who received these? And it sounds like you were bringing them out to people. All the more reason you needed those drivers that we talked about a moment ago, right?
So our program staff is kind of, they take to the clients. Case managers picked up those bags and gave to those clients that were most in need. And that's kind of on that level.
Okay, okay. And then Christmas Angels, is that a whole different program altogether, or what
is
that?
So this is a separate program, yes.
Okay.
And this provides Christmas gifts to our clients' children. It's a wonderful blessing and a way our donors can generously provide gift cards to, last year we did 489 gift cards, raised over $23,000. So really a resource that we can provide and help eradicate those barriers out of poverty.
And what kind of gift cards in particular, and do people drop them off, or how do they get them to you?
So we actually take online donations. We're able to bulk order Walmart gift cards. So donors can donate online on our Christmas Angels website, and then we'll be able to order those gift cards and get them out to clients so they can have the independence to go and shop for their children. It's really a wonderful impact statement I received from our case manager a couple years ago. Gift giving is an essential part of expression, and it really defines the relationship and strengthens that parent-child bond. So receiving that gift card allows our clients to purchase the Christmas gift for their child, and then assistance allows the clients the opportunity to be creative and think of things their children might enjoy.
Yeah, that's such a cool thing, because in Catholic Radio, we focus so much on the spiritual works of mercy, you know, educating the ignorant and, you know, just trying to teach people the faith. But I think people have that natural desire to do corporal works of mercy, to help people in a very tangible way. And sometimes we don't know how to do it, you know. What do we do? I want to help out. But this is a very easy way, so to speak, to help out. Yeah, Allie, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, and, you know, we have a big goal this year. We want to serve 500 kiddos, and we cannot do that without community support. So, you know, if there's any interest at all to support the children of our clients and, you know, give back this holiday season, we would absolutely love that support. Like Kelly said, you can donate via our website, or, you know what, if you wanted to collect some $50 Walmart gift cards, you let me know where to go, and I will pick them up for you.
All right. Just go to Sissel's house tomorrow.
Yeah, perfect. I'll be there,
okay?
Sissel. I'll bring you a pie.
Kelly Smith, volunteer specialist, Allie Philippi, community engagement manager. You said Philippi, that's a Greek name, huh?
It is.
Married,
that's what I've been told anyway.
Yeah. I'm sure he was telling you the truth.
Sure.
That's your husband after all, right? Yeah, what a cool name. So we're talking about volunteers and all that. We only have a few minutes remaining with you all, and we also like to find out what you're doing tomorrow for Thanksgiving and all that kind of good stuff. But what else? It looks like, what else would you like to mention, Kelly, as far as the volunteers here at Catholic Charities?
It's very easy to join our team of volunteers. You can apply online, so you can just go submit that application, and we'll get you on your way. For Christmas Angels, be sure to make your donation by December 6th. So I hope your listeners will prayerfully consider making a donation for the program.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a wonderful blessing to clients.
Yeah.
I love being a part of it and just seeing the pictures of our clients' children and the joy on their face when they receive
it. Do you get to personally see it? I mean,
last year I did get a team's message from one of our case managers of two boys under the tree with the gifts. And honestly, it just warms my heart, and I love that I get to be a part of that and give back that way.
Yeah, very good. Allie, anything else before we let you go? You guys go?
Just to kind of reiterate what Christy said, we do have informational tours the second Thursday of every month from 12 to 1. I offer some lunch. I get you in and out in an hour, but that's a great way to learn more about our poverty ending work here and how to get more involved. So we'd love to have you. You can sign up on the website or shoot us an email, and we'll get you signed up.
Everything's on the website.
Everything's on the website.
Tell us, what is your favorite part of the tour? As you're going through, is there like a wow moment where people, now when I was talking to Christy a moment ago, and she was talking about those ladies that started, basically were the seed of starting Catholic Charities. Yeah. And I said, is there a picture of those ladies? And she said, oh, yeah.
So yeah, we have a history wall.
What else is kind of a highlight of the tour?
That's a hard question to answer, because no matter how many times I do it, I still learn something new. Something strikes me differently every single time. But I have to say, right over here, we have what we kind of call our baby boutique, which is where we have donations from the community for anything a child or mother could need. So we have diapers, wipes, clothes, and I go in there and share about some of our case management programs, and I share a really incredible client story. And I've heard it probably 50, 60 times, and I still cry every single time. It's so powerful. The story is beautiful. So that's probably my favorite part, but there's something for everybody in that tour, I really believe. And so anybody that's interested in learning more about what we do, I would love for them to come to that.
All right. It's all on the website, CatholicCharitiesFortWorth.org, CatholicCharitiesFortWorth.org. We're doing our live broadcast here at Catholic Charities of Fort Worth at their main office at 249 West Thornhill Drive. And if you want to see it, it's really a beautiful, beautiful building. And, now here's a question, and then I'll let y'all go.
Sure.
Okay? There's a name on this building. I forget. Who knows? That probably would have been a question for Christy Brown.
Knows everything.
Dang. the building is named after somebody. I'm just curious about what that is.
Is it the Fisher family?
I think it's the Fisher family.
There's a picture of a couple here.
Oh, there's
here.
A couple here. Okay.
It says this campus has been generously donated
there
by the
go.
Fisher family.
So I'm right. Do you want a job?
I would love to, actually. You know what? The commute would be easier.
It would be. It would be good, yeah.
All right, good. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Yes, going to East Texas to see my parents and grandparents. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, all right, good. I hope you have a great day. And
thank
how about
my
you?
My mom is in town from Florida. We're going with some friends, so I have some pie baking to do.
That I was doing last night.
Yeah. I hope you all have a very blessed day. Thanks so much for spending some time with us on the radio. Again, we are going to wrap up our time here at Catholic Charities of Fort Worth live broadcast this morning, talking to Sergio Chassin, who is Immigration Services Director. I love this. When Elise sent the information over, she put in parentheses, the interview can be either in Spanish or English. I think, Cecil, let's choose English. What do you think?
Okay? Oh, I thought you were about to say, let's choose Spanish.
I love the fact that we have the option of doing a Spanish, but since I don't know Spanish, I think we better stick with English.
Yeah, probably wise.
Our guest would feel comfortable speaking either way. So, all right, Sergio Chassin, Immigration Services Director here at Catholic Charities of Fort Worth. Good morning. Thanks for being the last of our guests. Okay, we've run everybody else
off. I'm the
least. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to work with Catholic Charities Fort Worth.
Well, I try to keep my background a secret because I'm really a ordained Baptist minister.
Are you really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm not an active ministry right now, but yes, that's my formation as a theologian.
Oh, wow.
And I came to the U.S. as an immigrant myself, pursuing PhD studies on theology and Bible. And I was pastoring a small Latino congregation nearby here, this campus actually in the south of Fort Worth. And, a congregation like that really can support you, in the Baptist world, each church sort of supports their ministers. So I needed a job, but I wanted a job that was involved with the same community, kind of like what you were saying about the spiritual side and the active side. So I was already serving them as a minister and dealing with that, but I wanted a job that would serve them in a very concrete way. And there's nobody like Catholic Charities doing that work. And to me, that's fascinating, the fact that nobody like Catholic Charities is doing the direct work of serving the community, regardless of who they are. And when I came here, I loved it, not only for the work that I got to do, but for the introduction to Catholic social teachings, which is such a powerful volume of work through the years, through many popes and theologians and saints and everything, that there's nothing else comparable to that in any other area.
Interesting. You know, as a Protestant, kind of steeping yourself into Catholic social teaching, you mentioned you wanted to get the PhD, so you clearly have an academic side to you. You like the Bible.
Yeah.
Can you speak to anything in particular, or, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot, is this encyclical or that? I know Rerum Novarum by Pope Leo XIII is a big one. As far as Catholic social teaching, what are the pillars of it and how it might intersect with your work here at Catholic Charities of Fort Worth?
Absolutely. First of all is the systematization of it. When I started my PhD, I was a systematic theologian. Systematic theology deals all over here.
Yeah, big picture, right? Yeah.
Concepts of Trinity, those things that are very important and essential to faith and are things that we share among all Christians, right? But they deal here. What Catholic social teaching does is systematize it down here at the level of the people. What all these things means to you and I as a human being. So I think when you talk, God is the creator, and he created us all. But then Catholic social teachings put that in a more concrete way. There's this value on every human life. Mm-hmm. There's dignity because we are created at the image of God. Those Amen. Kind of things. So that's the beauty of Catholic social teaching, bringing all this down to the people, which is hard to find anywhere else, honestly, systematized that way.
Yeah, so. The way you're describing it, it's a very sacramental approach. The sacraments, by their very nature, have form and matter. There's something spiritual, there's something physical. It's really what the Catholic Church is all about. It's a very sacramental approach to life, and I love how you're talking about the dignity of every human person made to the image and likeness of God. So that is awesome. I could talk about that all day.
And I grew up, my mom was a practicing Catholic all her life until she passed away here in Fort Worth, and the lay Father Hassel helped us at the end. So it, to me, it's beautiful, and I've been with the agency almost 19 years now, and really has been a growth on learning more and more. So I think I'm half Catholic by now.
By the end of this, who knows? So you're half Catholic. Yeah, well, if your mom was Catholic, you certainly were. And you clearly have a very strong appreciation of the Catholic
yes.
Church. And you're working at Catholic Charities, for Pete's sake.
Yes, I mean. Yes. And I was an active Baptist pastor working here. And I got to tell you, another thing I love is that it was easier for Catholic Charities to embrace that than from the Baptist world in
Oh, is that right?
Yes. So I think it's this open arms of the church.
Yeah.
And the open arms reflecting the agency that makes this place a fantastic place to be.
Yeah. You know, when we were talking to Christy Brown earlier, the head of advancement, she was talking about kind of a big picture, 113 years of Catholic Charities. She talked about some of the immigration crisis back in the 1970s, and that was kind of a flashpoint, as she mentioned, for Catholic Charities Fort Worth. Now, I'm guessing, I don't know if those were folks were from Vietnam or where they come from.
Correct.
But they come in, there are certain kind of waves or time periods when various people kind of have a need, because I know back in the 70s after the Vietnamese War, there were a lot of refugees seeking to get out of there. So talk about some of the different periods of time during the history of our country when people have sought asylum.
Absolutely. I might be wrong, but I don't think I am. The two longest running programs in the agency right now, because in 130 years we've seen many things come and go as services, right?
Yeah.
But the two longest running now are refugee services, which started in late 70s, probably 79, around there, and then immigration services that this year turns 40. We're celebrating 40 years on December 8th. Of this year, so I'm beside everything of excitement. So yes, the first wave that the U.S. starts seeing proper refugee in the modern concept, because there's always been immigration, right? You can argue that the Mayflower were immigrants,
right.
You can go through all that. But
the Irish come in during the potato famine and all
correct,
that, yes.
Yeah. But in the proper concept of refugees, which is a newer thing, the first wave came in the 70s after the Vietnam War and all that, and Catholic charities were there to receive them, to work with them. And then, well, then it was not only housing, learning English, all those things, but then it came, okay, there's a whole legal process to go through. And through that process came the need to have an immigration program that could help them to navigate the legal process in the country, and that's where we came into play. So since then, we've been here, and you talk about waves, yes, there's been different things. Then during President Reagan in 86, there was that time where there was a, what it was called at the time, an amnesty. It was a renewed immigration law trying to help everybody that was here, especially working in agriculture, to get their green card. So that was another big moment. Then during the 90s, there was another change during President Clinton. That was a bit different, but we were here. But now we are in the middle of a complete different world where the refugees world still exists. But the world, I think, it has been, watered down in a bit. We use refugee in a non-technical way. We use asylum in a non-technical way. And I think maybe it's useful for some people to understand that everybody's looking for something, that nobody migrates just because they think it's, I don't know, nicer here. They migrate because there's a big push bringing somebody here.
Yeah, and y'all are able to kind of figure out who needs help and who legitimately is in the biggest need for concern. And that's your kind of day-to-day job, right? Is
absolutely
assessing these situations case by case, right?
Correct, case by case. And I think this is the most interesting thing to understand. We frame the question not on what's your status right now necessarily, or even what do you think you want. The question is what the law allows you to do, and that's all we can do. We have to play by the rules. We don't make them.
Yeah,
I'm very thankful that that's not my job. So our job is to understand the law well enough so I can apply to the person that is in front of me and tell them yes, no, this might be the option. So yes, for us, it's just that issue. Is there a legal way for you to do what you need? And if there is, we want to help you so you don't have to overspend in other places.
And that's the tension, I guess, that we all have, and that's why it's become a political issue, is that I think most of us of goodwill want to be compassionate. We want to help people, but we also want to follow the law. We want there has to be some kind of law that's the basis of this. It sounds like that's what you guys are doing, is within the parameters of the law, you want to be as compassionate and as helpful as possible. Would that be a good way of summarizing it?
Yes, and I want to bring it back to Catholic social teachings, because when the bishop talk about this, one of the principles that I love is that they sustain the right of people to migrate. That's obvious, right? But there's another one we don't talk enough, and it's the right to not migrate. And what this does is that it puts the onus on the sending countries, because what bishops are saying is the U.S. and any country has a right to have borders and defend them. And also the people that is being forced here for whatever forces, economical, violence, political, they have the right in their countries to have the quality of life that won't make them want to live. So I think that balance is present there in the teachings of the bishops and based on Catholic social teachings. So for us, that's very important to not only help that those that are here, but also be mindful that in their countries where they are coming from, there should be better.
Mm-hmm. Sergio Chassin is my guest, Immigration Services Director here at Catholic Charities of Fort Worth and the Immigration Services Office. And while looking at my timer here, we got exactly 2 minutes, and so I want to make sure we have a good, smooth departure. I want to thank you very much for your time, Sergio, and your work. You say, what, about 20 years you've been doing this? Is that what you said?
No, quite.
19. Okay, yeah. Into your 20th year, and got big Thanksgiving plans this week, or what are you going to be doing?
Well, it's the first year that my wife and I are empty nesters, and I must confess I'm loving it.
I love it.
So this year, for the first time ever, we're doing a non-family Thanksgiving. We are going downtown to a brunch, pretend we're fancy people, and then we'll come back home.
Yeah, how many children do you have?
We have two.
Two kids. Okay. They're both out, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the work you do. Great, great to meet you. Thanks for closing things out. And just enough time to thank you, Cecil, for your help with this broadcast. And also Elise Chung, who is here with us still, and she has organized this whole thing. Thank you so much. And all of our guests, Christy Brown, Tova Anderson, Kelly Smith, Ali Philippi, and, of course, Sergio Chassin as well. We are closing out our broadcast here at Catholic Charities of Fort Worth. If you want to learn more about all the things that we've talked about this hour, just go to CatholicCharitiesFortWorth.org, and don't forget they've got their big luncheon on December 5th. And then, as I recall, Cecil, the deadline to donate for the Christmas project, Christmas Angels Project, was December 6th, which is the Feast of the Epiphany. And so I think that's going to do it. Anything else?
Yeah, I think so.
15 seconds for anything else. Got anything?
Again, you can go to GRNDFW to find the pictures and all the links that I posted about all these different fundraisers that they're doing right now.
All right. For Cecil Anderson, I'm Dave Palmer, signing off here from Catholic Charities of Fort Worth, 249 West Thornhill Drive. You're listening to KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth, on the Guadalupe Radio Network. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to KATH.